Tone, what's that? Okay. Sincerity, intent. Okay, I'm liking that. What else? Arrogance, yeah. What's that? Overselling. Humility. I think that's part of it too, is that when you're confident about serving the person, that you can help the person, when it's cocky, it seems like it's more about you and what you want. It's probably crooked. And that's true with trust when we talk about deception. People that don't trust are not very trustworthy. It's kind of an interesting thing if we talk about trust. And part of confidence, too, is predictability. The more predictable you are, a lot of times the more trust you'll have. People just kind of put those two together with trust. Talk about credibility. The next C. Credibility. Truthful, history, experience. Credibility. Can you lose credibility pretty fast? Yeah, I was a college professor. The students were beating her up about some different things. There was just one student in particular that was really heckling and going after the thing. And the professor attacked the student, just verbally. And the student says, "Don't have a cow." Now, the moment of decision, what did the professor do? He said, "I don't have a cow. I'm a full-fledged university professor. I'm smarter than you are," and just went after the student. Now, that might be true, but what happened to the credibility of that professor? It's gone. Done. Now, the question is, can you borrow the credibility of other people? Is that okay to do? Absolutely. If you don't think you have enough credibility, you borrow it. Now, where can you borrow it from? Mentors, okay? Robert Allen, Mark McJohn, those are good names to drop. What's that? A business partner or a name of a company? Other acquaintances that have used that? What does Saturn do? A card. They have a picture of every person that has bought the card. Collecting testimonials. We'll talk about collecting testimonials. And that's when I wrote my first book, nobody knew who I was. But when you go to the bookstore, when people pull out the book, they look at the front, and then what do? They look at the back. What are they looking for? Endorsement. Or a picture. So that's what I did. I went after Stephen Covey. You know Stephen Covey's Seven Habits? Dr. Mark Victor Hansen, Brian Tracy, and Stephen Covey, they all endorsed the book. So when they turn it over and you like Stephen Covey, is that credibility enough for someone to buy the book? It is. You're borrowing that credibility. Very important you understand how to do that. You can do borrow the credibility. History and experience. So this is a wonderful testimony for a product line, Ted. Just you can't buy this kind of praise and enthusiasm and sincerity. Tell your mom we really appreciate it. Not quite what we're looking for. All right, your checklist. Your appearance. Your qualifications. Now, if you're careful here, if you list all your qualifications, you can come across as what? Yeah, cocky. Even though you want them to know, you have to be very careful on how you do that. Have somebody else introduce you. And be on time. When you're late, does that decrease your credibility? Absolutely. Now, there's some big shifts in credibility. And here are some things that will be really important for you to understand. When something is too good to be true, what happens? Do you do business with them? So here's the big picture. If you reveal a weakness about yourself, does that increase your credibility? Yeah. Now, if you admit them that you're an axe murderer or a kleptomaniac, that might not help. But what I want to point out that's so important to understand is that if you don't give them a weakness, they will assign one to you. Think about this. Very important. If you don't reveal a weakness, they will assign one to you. Otherwise, you're going to be too good to be true, and they're not going to do business with you. We've coached a lot of people that had internet offers that were really good, but they were too good to be true, and people wouldn't buy. So we actually made the offer worse, and they sold more. Oh, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you need to give them the weakness. Don't let them assign one to you. You give them a weakness that doesn't destroy you, like axe murder and the other ones we talked about. You want to give them a weakness, and you want to turn that weakness into a strength. Honesty sells. Let's talk about the big boys. Avis. We're number two. Is that a weakness? But we try harder. Listerine. Nasty. Weakness, but it's the taste you hate twice a day. You let them know, this is nasty. It'll kill you. The cough medicine's the same way, isn't it? This stuff is nasty, but it works. Because if you don't warn them up front and they chase it, are they ever going to use it again? Probably not. 7-Up's not Coke. Not a cola, it's the Uncola. L'Oreal can be expensive. That's a weakness turned into a strength because you're worth it. Why would you buy something cheap for you? You're worth it. And VW, in the 60s, VW will stay ugly longer. That was their motto. They even had one that said, this car's so slow you'll never get a speeding ticket. Isn't that amazing? You're not buying a VW for speed. And so the truth. Smucker's, the GM, what is their weakness? The name. It's a lame name. What a stupid name for a jam. So they make fun of it, don't they? What's their slogan? With a name like that, it has to be good. Weakness and the strength. Heinz ketchup was getting complaints. We don't like it. It's too slow. It takes forever. Weakness. How'd they turn that into a strength? Worth waiting for. The thickness means quality, the anticipation. It's a better ketchup. See how they did that? That increased credibility. So, my question to you, what is your greatest weakness and how can we turn that into a strength? New language barrier? Can you turn that into a strength? What about being a one-person show going against a large corporation? Could that be a weakness? Now, let's just talk about this. Here's a weakness. Just you going up against a company that has 50 people. Is that a perceived weakness? Sure, it can be. So let's turn to a strength. What can you say? They're going to find out anyway. You might as well let them know and increase your credibility. What's that? Okay, it's just me. You'll have one-on-one. You'll have access to my cell phone 24 hours a day. You won't get lost in the cracks. You will not be another number. I am going to work with you until we solve this challenge. Weakness and strength. See that? All those different things. What about if you're the highest price out there? Can you turn that weakness into a strength? It's the most expensive product out there. You get what you pay for. This is top of the line. We have a 10-year warranty instead of a 1-year warranty that our competitors have. There's different ways to do this. You have to think about it. What weakness do you have and let's turn it into a strength. It'll increase your credibility. So the lesson, again, get it in your heads. If you don't give them a weakness, they will assign one to you. So it's in your best. It increases your trust, your credibility, and you can turn that into a strength. Any questions on that? Good? Okay. The fifth C is congruence. Now, do people believe your actions more or your words more? Actions every time. It's kind of like if your clothes match, we don't notice, but when they don't match, let's see if anybody's clothes don't notice. But when they don't match, we notice. Same type of thing. Your words match. Are you congruent? Be consistent. Your words match your actions. Simple. It's one of those subconscious things. Can people, when they know they're lying, sometimes you just get a feeling inside? A lot of times it's congruence and consistency. Let's run down all five of these. Let's say, we have any dentists in the audience? Oh, good. We'll make fun of them. Dentist. So, is that your favorite thing to do, to go to a dentist? Have you ever inspired to go to a dentist, or is it more out of desperation? Desperation. Okay. So you move into a new area. You have a tooth that's killing you. And you go to your first neighbor and say, I need a dentist. Can you recommend a dentist? My tooth's hurting me. I don't know any dentist. Recommend one. And they say, I know a dentist with great character. Belongs to my church. A really good person. They're just not very competent, though. Last time I was there, stuck a needle completely through my cheek. I bled for 2 days. But good person, great care. So, my question is, would you go to that dentist? Absolutely not. So then you go to another neighbor. Hey, can you choose a dentist for me? Do you know a dentist? Oh, I know a great dentist, very competent, best in the state. He still doesn't have much character, though. In fact, you have to wait 2 weeks during jail for insurance fraud. And they tend to put in 2 or 3 more fillings than you actually need. But the best, very competent. Now, would you go to that dentist? Huh. You see where we're going here? What about confidence? You're sitting in the chair with a paper napkin, the dentist comes in, puts the x-rays in the light like you have any clue, but they show you anyway. And the dentist says, man, I don't know. I think you need a root canal right here. I'm just not really good at reading these things. See right here? What do you think? Do you think you need a root canal? What are you doing? You're run. You're done. You don't even take off the paper napkin. You're running out. You're done because they're the expert. You want that. Then you have credibility. What if you walk into a dental office, you're just kind of looking around, you walk in, there's a degree on the wall from somewhere in the Caribbean, and there's a sign on the desk that says cash only, no checks, no credit cards, no insurance. Dennis walks in a black leather jacket, hair slicked back, and a carpenter's tool belt with an actual drill, an actual hammer, an actual screwdriver. Hey, come on back, dude. Any credibility? Are you sticking around? Okay, and then there's congruence, bringing it all together. So each one of these matters. When you don't have one of these, it could destroy your whole trust. Even though you deserve trust, even though you're trustworthy, does not mean people trust you. Congruence. This was an actual study done. They put an ad in the newspaper and it said, we will pay you to endure a painful dental procedure. And people showed up. That's the most amazing. People showed up. Oh, pay me. Drill my teeth. They showed up and they had these dentists. They brought the dentist in the room and said, okay, this time when you do this procedure, we're going to give you this placebo. Anyone know what a placebo is? It wasn't really a painkiller, but just pretend it is. Do everything that you normally do. So the patient sat down and said, okay, we're going to numb the area. The doctors gave the shot, and they did this painful procedure, and guess what? They felt a lot of pain, a lot of screaming going on. Then they brought the doctors back into the room and said, okay, do it exactly the same. Do everything the same. This time it's a painkiller. And it wasn't. But the doctors didn't know. And the doctors came and did everything exactly the same, or so they thought. And guess what? They didn't feel much pain. Does that make sense? So they're called microexpressions. The doctor thought, even though the doctor thought they're doing the exact same things, the patient picked up on it. Same thing true as Korean War. When they ran out of morphine, when the doctors said, administered it, those patients felt pain, but when the nurses did it, they didn't feel pain. Why do you think it is? What do you think that is? The nurses didn't know. The doctors did. People pick up on this. Any questions on that? All right. So one thing that's going to be your homework assignment. We have two homework assignments for lunch. I want to go through this so you understand this. The first one, you need to get your persuasion IQ in by after lunch, and we want to talk about your elevator speech. You know what that is? Why do they call it an elevator speech? You have 30 seconds to go. When people say, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a real estate investor. I'm a network marketer. Who are you? What are you, kidding me? Sometimes they ask you what you do for your living. The door's open to grab them, and you're like, oh, I'm a real estate investor. So what should you say? What can you do to grab them? Thought about that? Let's talk about this, because I want you to write something. Because what your goal when you say something, is when you've always been taught, you always answer a question with a question. Is that a question? So you should be asking a question. Have you ever looked at a home and it was perfect for your family, but you didn't think you could afford it, but it was your dream home and you wanted to move in? I make that dream a reality. And then they're going to say what? Have you ever known anybody who was losing their home in foreclosure and wanted to help them and didn't know what to do? They were going to get kicked out and live on the streets and you didn't know how to help them? I saved their home. And then you shut up. And if they're interested, what are they going to say? Whoa, tell me more. How do you do that? Which is another question. And you say what? Well, tell me what you're going through and see if I can help you out. So here's the goal for a good elevator speech. Question with a question. We talked about that. I want to talk about the Zeigarnik effect a little bit. This is the one I want to point out. Has anyone heard the Zeigarnik effect before? Zeigarnik. Kind of sounds like garlic. Zeigarnik. It means we remember things when they're unfinished. When you're watching the news, you're going to turn it off after the next commercial, but what happens right before the commercial? The hook. Your water's killing you. And what happens? Stay tuned. So you want to make these interesting. So this is a great elevator speech. This is what we're going to be doing. This guy's interviewing for a job. He's handing him a cup. He says, before you can join our sales team, you have to pass a urine test. You have 15 minutes to sell this urine. I thought it was funny. But anyway, We're not going to do that. So, you want to grab their attention. You want to connect with them. So you're grabbing their attention. What can you say in the first 30 seconds? Do you connect with them in that time frame? What is the next step? What do you want them to do? Can you make it a little outrageous? And of course, the world famous WIFM means what? What's in it for me? What can you say to them? What do you think about your elevator speeches? I want you to think about it during lunch, and we'll come write these after lunch, and we'll do a little exercise with trust. What is it that you do that can grab someone's attention? What is it that you can do? We'll finish this out. I just want you to start thinking. Your IQ in is the most important thing, and after lunch, we're going to be talking about what is it? What can you say to get people to say? What is your goal? What do you do for a living? And you say it, you want them to say what? Tell me more. Well, what is it? How do you do that? So what is it about your business, your product, or service that's really going to grab people's attention? Let's see if I have one. Here's one that I would use. Right here. They asked me what I do for a living. I would say, have you ever had a prospect or customer that wanted your product, needed your product, could afford your product, but did not buy from you? I guarantee that'll never happen again. Pretty simple. Those are the things that we're thinking about. What can you say? You guys ready for break? Ready for lunch? We'll keep going. How long do you want for lunch? 9-0? You want that 9-0? 1 hour? Hour and a half? Hour and 15? What's our concern? Hour 15? Is that good? All right, take good notes wherever you eat so we can let people where they should go and they should not go. All right. You ready for more? Some good? I haven't even got to the good stuff yet. You ready to get to the good stuff? So lunch, anybody have a bad experience that warned us of restaurants not to go to? Oh, that's good. All right, so we talked about elevator speech. In fact, let me show you. I collect video clips just for fun. Let me show you one. But the old style persuasion, too, I need to show you. Anybody know who Terry Tate is? He's was a football player. And this is the...
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
It was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family. He fits right in here.
That's a long distance call, Doug!
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
You wanna play games, Gene? Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby! Woo!
Isn't that what it is? Does that work? Does that persuasion work? For the short term. What productivity was what, 43%? Is that what they said? Alright, where is my Vistas driving nuts? Okay. Did anybody write their elevator speech? Working on it? Well, we're gonna do this. This is really important. What do you do for a living? Now the door's open, the window's open for you to tell them what you do. So we remember we talked about things that could grab their attention. Can you connect in a few minutes? Those things. What can you say? Now, if you're talking to a diehard analytical person, you don't want to be, you just want to get to the point. Oh, I save corporations on average 30% a month, or 30% a year. Or I create millionaires in the internet. Does that make sense? For most people, this works very, very well. Here's some examples. That's the example I gave you before. Or I help make entrepreneurs make an extra $2,000 a week. Now, if they don't say anything, guess what? Not a big deal, but a lot of people, well, how do you do that? The door's open, they ask you. Now, is it different when they ask you versus when you tell them? Big difference. Big difference. Have you ever, for real estate, have you ever seen millionaires in real estate, investing in real estate, and didn't think you had the credit score or the capital to do that? What would be my next line? Well, what could I say if you're doing real estate investing? Yeah, I show entrepreneurs with low credit scores and no money how to become financially independent in real estate in a year. And you want them to say what? Yeah, well, tell me more. Isn't it true everybody you talk to can use your product or know somebody that does? Especially with foreclosure, they might know somebody. Or, if you wanted to achieve financial independence, what's taking so long? I show people how easy it is. I make millionaires in. Have you ever been at your dead-end job wondering why you don't spend enough time with your family? Wondering why you're not going to retire until you're 70? Not being able to make your children's sporting events? Wanting to vacation more with your family? I create entrepreneurs and show them how easy it is to be in business for themselves and become financially independent. Does that make sense, what I'm doing here? Does that make sense, everyone? So it's just some questions. You have these in your book. Just some things to question. I want you to start thinking, what can you say? When I say, what do you do for a living, what could you say to me to get me to say, tell me more? Tell me more. So I want you to kind of, if you've written it, I want you to revise it a little bit. I want you to think about it. We're going to walk around. Raise your hand if you're stuck. And I just want you to write it, and we're going to be actually using this later. So what is your elevator speech? It doesn't have to be that long. What can you say to get someone to say, tell me more? So go. Raise your hand if you get stumped. People walking around that can help you out. Go ahead and just spend a few minutes writing that. You ever felt the threat of downsizing? You ever seen a home that you love but didn't think you could get into it? You ever wondered why everyone else had become financially independent and you weren't? Do you feel like you're not earning what you're worth? Are you spending enough time with your children? Would you like to travel more? Are you trying to become financially independent? You ever wish you would just shut up and quit talking so I could finish this elevator speech? All right, I'll be quiet. What can you say? Well, raise your hand if you're stumped. Or you want to bounce it off somebody, raise your hand. I show people how to make $6,000 a month in their underwear working at home from their computer. And again, we'll be practicing these later, so you want to make sure you cut something down. You ever feel you weren't sleeping well at night? Didn't have energy? You couldn't get the basic things done during the day and you were grumpy? I have a miracle pill for you. Or whatever, just grabbing their attention. What do you think, Jay? The good ones? Good? Anybody want to share? Anybody want to share for the group? All right. What do you do for a living? We'll give you. As long as you don't want the sugar-coated version. Okay. What do you do for a living? Okay. Feedback? Yeah, that was a vomit. Yeah. Okay. You had some really good stuff in there, but there was just way too much. Just like, do anybody know anybody that have a vacation home and they weren't getting the return on the investment and was sitting there empty? I turn those empty days into cash. Just real simple, and then of course the goal is, what? Tell me more, I've got one of those. Now, if they don't say anything, they weren't qualified anyway, and it's not a big deal. Does that make sense? Okay, good. What else? Who wants to go? Who wants to tell us? Okay, go ahead. What do you do for a living? Okay, feedback? Like it? Anybody feedback? Yeah, it was kind of weak. It was good stuff, but we do everything in our power. It's like, I'll try. What does that mean? Just say, we save home. I would keep it in there. I mean, of course you do everything in your power. You say, we save their home. Usually it works well because it brings them in more. But as a diehard analytical, you probably just say, I help businesses save $6,000 a month in energy costs. Yeah. Well, sometimes you can pick it up pretty quick if you're looking at them. Or you can just say, I help Fortune 500 companies make an extra $1 million a month without even trying, or something along those lines. You could. Yeah. Go ahead over here. It can be generic, and this is where we come into reading people. Like I said, on the elevator, how do you know? And a lot of times you can look at people and you just know. And sometimes you might have two or three. Sometimes you want to use your network marketing one. Sometimes you might want a generic one if you're not sure. Well, share it with us. What do you do for a living? I like the first part. I don't know about the profession. What do you guys think? So you're helping people. What is your product? Real estate, or it's pretty generic, like you said. Depends what your ultimate goal is for that last sentence. I teach people how I show people how. As long as you can get them to say, well, tell me more, and then that, again, that's that you stop and say, well, tell me a little bit about your situation to see if it's a good fit. And so then you're getting that information that you need to be able to customize that. So that's the thing. Go ahead. What do you do for a living? What's your product? Is it real estate or maximize wealth? Yeah, I think the middle got there a little wordy there in the middle, kind of fine tune a little bit, but I think you're going the right direction. Who's up? Go ahead. What do you do for a living? I show people how easy it is. I help people get into homes. Yeah, that was, what do you think? Pretty concise. Got there. Well, wow, how do you do that? My Uncle Frank. Yeah. All right. Right here. What do you do for a living? Sorry. Go ahead. What do you think? I think it was okay. The last part, the last sentence, I think I make it happen. Something little, I make it happen. Just, I make it become a reality or something like that. Okay, a few more. Wow, a lot of, go ahead. Sustainable and abundant. What do you guys think? It is more believable, but you have to understand too, an actual number is going to pull, get people more interested. You could put an actual number or percent in there. I help investors get a guaranteed 20% return on their investment. Instead of, I help investors make lots of money. You should see the difference. Okay, a few more, myself, your hands. Go ahead. Okay, feedback. Yeah, I would want to make sure a couple things that in the middle you got some feedback before you started on the second part. And then you said the thing. If you want to own the thing? Yeah, I'd say property, your house, or whatever it is. But other than that, just a struggle. Yeah, I don't think you need the free of charge. I mean, that, you're going to get to that once you get in the conversation. Go ahead. Okay, feedback. Okay. You're right on. That is wordy. I'd probably cut two-thirds of that out and just get right to the point. Just grab it. No, it is. We're going to be fine-tuning this over the next couple of days. Let's see. I saw another hand here. Go ahead. What do you do for a living? Increase their bottom line. What does that mean? Okay, good. He asked another question, which is getting the information. Is it a percent that you're saving him on? Is it a... Okay, I'd like to see that percent. Because you said bottom line, that's kind of a vague thing. I'd like to say 10%, at least 10% or something like that in there. Otherwise, it went very, very well. All right, one more. In the back. What do you do for a living? Okay, pretty simple. And then you're going to get, of course, well, I'm hardworking. How do you do that? Yeah. I help stupid people because, no, you just, that's not good things we talk about with purple packaging. And we're going to work on this some more. In fact, what we're going to do, here in a little bit, we're going to do we're going to have people evaluate you on your 5 C's of trust while you're giving this. It's sculpting, you're fine tuning, you'll change it a little bit. Tomorrow morning when you come in, you'll talk to one of your coaches, you'll give it to them before they'll let you in the room. Isn't that fun? And it'll work very, very well. So we're going to work on this, so just keep thinking about it. I want to talk about the last thing here. And as part of the last one, we talk about presentation skills as we finish up having that exponential advantage, that success blueprint, what we call verbal packaging. Why do people aren't calling you back? How are you coming across? People are judging you. And I think one of the biggest aspects, one of the laws of persuasion, is actual verbal packaging. The leverage of language. Every word matters. We look at a classified ad. Just by changing the word repair to the word fix, 20% increase in responses. Isn't that amazing? One word makes a difference. In fact, it was Mark Twain said the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. The difference between, let me put this right. Using the right word versus the wrong word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. There. And how you say it's important too, if I get that one straight. I was working for an unnamed corporation. I was doing training. I was on the road quite a bit and they gave me an American Express card. And they had a nasty habit of not paying their bills. So here comes a collection agency, called me up because my name's on the card, even though it was a company card, and they said, you have to pay this. You're responsible to pay this. You need to pay it right now. What's your bank account number? Whoa, time out. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let me look into this. I don't think I need to pay this. Let me just look into this. And I go, give me your name and number, and I'll call you back. And I said, what's your name? He's like, Thor. I'm like, your name's not Thor. So, yes, it is. Are you telling me your mom named you Thor?
Yeah, she did.
I'm like, you fax me your driver's license, and then I'll call you back. And I never heard from him again. I don't know if he was offended, but well, why wasn't it Percival or Elmer? Does Thor carry about a different connotation? In fact, it's interesting. Have you ever picked out names for children? Is that a tough thing between a husband and a spouse? Husband and a wife? Oh, no, that's a gay name. Or, well, that's a kind of a weak name. Because we always relate the name to what? Somebody we know, or knew, or know, and then those are association triggers. Names are do that. It's interesting science. It says right here, don't tell them we failed, tell them that we decided to temporarily postpone our success. In fact, Kentucky Fried Chicken changed their name, didn't they? What is it? Why? See, part of it's the chicken part, but part of it's also the fried part. Fried. Fried is a bad word, so now they're KFC. They don't. Now, it's just one of those bad triggers for them. Or what about, you go to a nice steak restaurant, and you ask them, well, what's the difference between your filet mignon and your ribeye? Well, sir, the ribeye's a little more marbled. What does that mean? Yeah, it's fat. And we do those things, and so we package our words. So words affect our attitudes and emotions. That's just the bottom line. Every word we use, and when you use the right words, you come across as more credible, competent, and convincing. Even though I was in San Francisco doing a training, the insurance companies were fighting with the community because they thought the insurance companies should pay for sex change surgery. And the insurance companies didn't want to pay for it. But the newspaper didn't call it that. What did they call it? Gender reassignment. Hello? In fact, if you're in the media, write newspaper, can you ever be non-biased? You can't because of the words that you choose. And lawyers fight all the time as far as what words you can and cannot use during the court because it makes a huge difference. In fact, take a look at these words. Well, look at this comment. It says, you're a pretty good sales rep, except the 9 times you called me wallet instead of Walter. Yeah, that would be a bad flip. So let's do a little exercise here. What I want to do is close your eyes, and I'm going to say some words, and you just kind of get a feel for how they make you feel. Murder. Hate. Breath. Cancer. Despair. You can close and switch it up. Well, happiness. Inspired, joy, success. Okay, open your eyes. Feel that? Is that huge? Now, it wasn't only the word, it was also what? How I said it. The verbal packaging is very important. They trigger emotion. It's just how it is. In fact, the airline industry, do they package their words? Oh, they are good. You're sitting there, they're telling you how to put on a seatbelt, which is your first red flag. You're putting on the seatbelt. And then they say, in the event of a water landing. Hello? What is that? In the event, have you ever been in a, they don't say when the plane hits the water and the wings rip off. In the event of a water landing. Or in case of cabin depressurization. What does that mean? There's a hole in the plane. There's the door's been ripped off or there's a hole in the plane. But oh, cabin depressurization. In case you go for a cruise, put on your swimsuits. Or what do you pull out the barf bag? You ever read what it says on the barf bag? Promotion discomfort. There's no life preservers on board. What are they called? Flotation devices. And everywhere else we have bathrooms, but you go on a plane, there's no bathrooms. What are they? They never clean a plane. They refresh it. We refresh it. Planes never broke. Oh, it's broke. We're fixing it. What do they say? Mechanical difficulties. I've heard mechanical anomalies. Planes never late. It's delayed. You don't go through the weapons inspection station. And they've never lost my luggage, ever. Millions of miles on airlines, they've never lost my luggage. It's always been diverted or misplaced. That's verbal packaging, isn't it? I was listening, they were, back when they served meals on the airlines, you had a choice between, it was a steak or some chicken. And they'd run out of steak. I heard the flight attendant talk. She says, I'll take care of it. Watch. Everyone's going to order the chicken. And she went up. She said, you have two options this evening. You have a beautiful, tender, marinated breast of chicken. Garden fresh vegetables sauteed to perfection with this incredible sauce. Or you can have a piece of beef. Well, duh. It's all the presentation. It's all in the packaging. Even the pharmaceutical companies, they take the opposite approach, don't they? The last 10 seconds of the commercial, what do they say? Oh, yeah, you're going to vomit, and your hair's going to fall out, and you can't walk anymore, and you'll be dizzy. But it's monotone. It's very fast. So most people, it doesn't even register on the radar screen. They just don't see it. That's the opposite of bubble packaging. That's how they use it. So package your words. Used car. You don't see that anymore because it has a bad trigger, doesn't it? Oh, used car. Pre-owned. I've even seen one that was pre-loved. I don't know if it was a personal ad or a car or what it was, but it was pre-loved. What about fine Scottish cuisine? What is that? Fast food restaurant. Fine Scottish cuisine. McDonald's. What about vintage clothes? Goodwill, yeah, pretty much Goodwill, used clothes. What about good work car? What does that mean? Yeah, it's not going to run much. What about when you have the War Department change their name to what? Department of Defense? And even a lot of the terms we had some collateral damage. What does that mean? Death. Yeah, you killed civilians. Or ethnic cleansing, there's a word. Oh, we're just cleaning up. Ethnic cleansing, are you kidding me? They just amazing the different words they use. What about, well, the home's convenient to the interstate. Right-sizing, downsizing, re-engineered, let go. What about the college finals? Is that kind of a bad feel to it? So I was like, students don't like that, let's change the name. And I now call it, instead of giving a final, I give a celebration of knowledge. Now, it doesn't work very good, but I get a good laugh out of it. Celebration of knowledge. Should we give out a celebration of knowledge at the end of this? So let's have some help here. Let's package these words. Let's paint the pictures. Great persuaders paint the pictures. You can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it when they talk about it. They say, when you interview people about great persuaders, it's like they were listening to a movie. They just grab their attention. So instead of calling somebody stupid or ignorant, it's very important to learn. Let's verbally package it. You ready? How about sharp as a marble? Does that paint the picture a little bit? Better than calling somebody ignorant or all foam, no beer? Too much yardage between the goalposts? Got into the gene pool when the lifeguard wasn't watching. All right. If brains were taxed, you'd get a rebate. Studied for a blood test and failed. My favorite, the wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. Isn't that verbal packaging? And of course, the gates are down, the lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. That's verbal packaging. So we have A words. A words attract, D words distract. For example, this lady came up and started a daycare. A couple of moms got together, and they named it the Other Mother Daycare. What are we thinking? Good, we got some bad. Why is that bad? The stepmom. Is it hard enough to drop your children off with notes that somebody else is going to be their mom? Yeah, it didn't do well at all. Or the cigarette companies, they came up with this great idea. Well, let's do horoscope cigarettes, and it'll change every couple months, and we'll put little things on there. People will love it. But then they started thinking about it, and they were actually going into production, and they realized that one of the months was cancer. Not a good thing. So what words attract, what words distract? So let's talk about them. If. What is that? Is that a good word? If you do this, if you do business with me, if you buy this house, take it out of your vocabulary. What should we use? When. When we do business, when you buy the house. It's called expectations. Well, I'll try to make it happen. I'll try. And when your friends or family say, I'll try, what does that mean? It's not happening. So it's better than try. do, will. Shall would work there. Could. Versus, could you do this versus, can you do this? There's a big compliance difference between the two, versus could versus can. It's that one simple word. Could you do this versus can you do this? Hope, is that a good word? Well, I hope to. Hopefully it works. Hopefully you'll feel better. It's better than hope. Or guarantee. We're going to talk about guarantees tomorrow. Did you have a guarantee? What is your guarantee? I had a young lady laughing in the back. I was doing a three-day persuasion seminar talking about verbal packaging. And she started laughing because her name was Hope. And she was wondering if she should change it to guarantee. I said, are you single? She said, yes. I said, no. I don't want to do that. The word but. That's a devastating word. What does but do? It negates everything in front of it. This is a great house, great school. Great yarn, great, 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 but you've negated everything in front of you. So what could you do? And, or even however is a little better. Worked very well. Now a power word to throw in here, did the audio go weird or is that just me? Went weird? Did you find Jake and just have most of the audio to be around? Thanks. There you go. Here's a power word, it's the word because. Because our brain wants a reason, and when you say because, it gives them a reason, even though the reason's not valid. It still works. Let me explain. Elaine Langer, she's done a lot of studies. She's a social psychologist at Harvard, and she was testing word choice. So she would wait until there's about five people at a photocopier. She did this for months. Five people waiting at a photocopier, and the first time she said, excuse me, may I cut in line? I'm in a rush. It was almost a little over 60% compliant. And then she did it again for another couple months. Excuse me, may I cut in line? Because I'm in a rush. The only difference was the word because. Was there a difference in compliance? 60% to 94%. Just because of that one word. Now here's where it gets interesting. She did it a third time for a couple months. Excuse me, may I cut in line? Because I need to make some copies. Well, duh. Why else is she in line? It wasn't a valid reason. It went from 94% down to 93%. It was a because. It was because we just automatically assume you're going to give us a good reason. It's one of those power words you want to use. We're doing a lot of research about different words that happen. For example, in your world, contract. Is that a good word? Okay. What'd your mom tell you about contract? Never sign. Agreement, paperwork, enrollment, application. Oh, there's so many better words. Or sign here. Oh, I just cringe. Sign the contract. I'll come on over and I'll fax a contract and we'll come over and you can sign it. You might as well shoot yourself. Okay the paperwork. Sign the contract versus okay the paperwork. You feel the difference? It makes a big difference. Give me your autograph. Give me your John Hancock. Okay then. Initial this. Authorize this. You feel the difference? Sales versus consulting. You want me to sell the consultant. And a lot of companies make this mistake. You call up a large company, you're interested in their product. Okay, hold on a minute, ma'am. Let me transfer you to sales. And automatically what happens inside? Oh, the walls, you haven't even talked to anybody. We can say, let me transfer you to consultant, to customer service. It makes a huge difference. What about cost? Well, how much does it cost? How much does it cost? What's the home cost? What's the business cost? Do we hear that a lot? We don't use that. We use what? Investment. Well, the investment is. These are investments we're doing. Or how about problem? Well, what's your problem? What's the problem here? What's a better word? Okay, challenge. Another one that's getting on the radar screen. Is it still kind of weird, the audio? Still kind of weird? Is it right here? Jake's still out there trying to fix it? Okay. They're working on it. What was that? Okay. On the radar screen. Appointment. Good, bad, or ugly? Bad. Because how long is an appointment? Hour? Do you have an extra hour? So what's softer than appointment? Stop by, rendezvous. What's that? Meet, stop by, time to visit, chat, meet for lunch. Well, it's expensive. Your product's the most expensive. Well, you're right. It is top of the line. Well, it's cheap. The cheapest product out there. Yeah, it is the most economical. Well, what's your credit card? Give me your credit card number. Should be. If you're asking for a credit card, what could you ask for? Form of payment. Down payment could be initial investment. Instead of cancellation, write a rescission. You see where we're going with this? We test these words out. It makes a big, big difference. Every word you use will attract or repel. Some obviously more than others. It's a pretty big list. Those are probably the big ones. How about Elizabeth Loftus does a lot of study with these different type of things. She took a large group of people and divided them into three. So there's three groups. She showed them a video of two cars crashing into each other. So three separate groups, they all saw the same video. Then she said, how fast were the cars going when they smashed into each other? How fast were they going when they hit each other? How fast were they going when they contacted each other? Same video, three different groups. Did that have any effect on the numbers? Here are the numbers right here. Almost a 10-mile-an-hour difference between smashed and contact. Just by the word. Same video, just by the word that she used. What about these? Which one pulls 40% more than the others? Half price, buy one, get one free, or 50% off? Buy one, get one free. The magic word being free. Now, our spam filters aren't liking that word because everyone uses it so much. In fact, if you notice they put free and then a star, it's because of the spam filter. It's been a very powerful word. Vocal techniques. Vivid language. Paint the picture. Describe it. Don't say you were going to the beach. What should you say? Pulled up on Pacific Coast Highway, I rolled down the window, and I smelled that salty air, and the sun was starting to shine on my face, and I took my shoes off, and stepped on the warm sand. I feel the sand around my toes, and the seagulls were playing up in the air. As I approached the ocean, I could hear the waves just crashing on the shore. Feel the difference? I say, you went home, it's late at night, you were hungry, you were trying to get something to eat, you opened up the refrigerator, nothing there, but you notice there was a lemon. You picked it up, and you smelled it. It was interesting, you cut it in half, and the golden juices kind of squeezed out, and then you took a bite. Some of you are cringing. You're like, ooh. Now, if I were to say, salivate now, you wouldn't do it. But if I paint the picture, you could do that. That's what lawyers are so successful. The successful lawyers, you know what they do? They paint the picture. You talk about a quadriplegic. They say, imagine lying in the hospital. And the phone rings. And you can't answer. The sun comes through the window and shines on your leg. And you can't feel it. A fly comes buzzing in and lands on your face. You can't swallow it away. Did I paint the picture? That's what successful persuaders do. They're really good at doing that. Paint the picture. Paint the picture. A utility company in California had a challenge selling insulation. Now, is home insulation pretty much a no-brainer to insulate your home? It is, but they weren't doing it. Only 15% of the people were doing it. They were going around door to door, insulate your house, insulate, they wouldn't do it. Then they went to think about it, then they just changed it up a little bit. They said, you know, all those little cracks in your windows and your doors is about the hole the size of a basketball in your front door. Does that paint a better picture? And that's went from 15% up to 60%. So, speaking rate, let's talk about this. How fast should you speak in a persuasive situation? Now, sometimes we should talk really slow so you can grasp everything that I'm saying. You want to make sure you understand every word. But the challenge is when you speak this slow, many of you want to strike me. Isn't that true? But then on the flip side, I can talk really fast and create a lot of energy because speed is really good. And I talk really fast. And you love talking about the world of persuasion because persuasion is so good. Because when you learn how to persuade, you can change the world. And when you speak really this fast, how do you feel about me? Does this work? Does this make you tense? Does this make you uneasy? Do you like it when I speak this fast? Do you? Okay. Well, which one do we use? Let's talk about this. Now, our mind, we speak on average about 150 words per minute. Our mind goes at 400 plus words a minute. As many of you can take notes, think about other things, isn't that true? So the faster you speak, the more energy you have, the more you keep your audience with you. Period. Now, I was speaking way too fast. You do have to slow down at times and vary it, but your overall pace should be fast. It creates more energy, creates more enthusiasm, and keeps the audience more attentive as long as you vary it. Vocal fillers we've talked about. You'll be shocked how many check marks you got when you get your information back from your first impressions in your nonverbal. Pauses. They call them pregnant pauses. I don't know why that they do, but it's really interesting when you're talking to somebody and you pause. What's that? Actors do that. You see this, and preachers do it quite a bit too, because it brings everybody in, especially right before the most important part. Very important to do. So what about dentists? Let's pick on dentists some more. You go to a dentist and they say, "Is that painful?" You'll never hear that. This is actually from dental school. They'll say, "Is that uncomfortable?" You don't say, "Does that hurt a lot?" You feel like screaming. They're going to say, "Is that uncomfortable?" "Does that hurt?" They'll say, "Does that bother you?" Instead of asking your assistant to pass the blade, it's the number 12. "Can you pass the hatchet for me?" Instead of pull, it's remove. Instead of drill, it's prepare. Let me drill that for you. It's prepare the area. Needle is called a tip. Grind, do they prepare? Shot is an injection. My favorite, you're going to feel a little pressure. Yeah. You're sitting there. When a doctor or a dentist says you're going to feel a little pressure, you might hold on to something because you're going to be screamed. A little pressure, it's a lot of pressure. That's dental verbal packaging. How's that? How about for verbal packaging? This is the new product that Coke was coming out with. Diet Coke with bacon. It's a joke. It's the breakfast. It's for breakfast. You want to try and get the breakfast drink? All right. What I want to do now is we're going to do a trust exercise. I know it's after lunch and your bellies are full, so we're going to get up and we're going to do that. I'm going to have Steve explain how to do that. Be honest here. This is not someone, we're going to score you on your 5 C's. Steve's going to tell you how to do this. But we'll also be practicing your elevator. Then we're fine-tuning a little bit of time. Every time you practice your elevator, it's going to get a little bit better and better. So Steve, take her away. All right.